All right, let me ask you please to turn one more time to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It's good to have Griff and Joanne Manahan back from the sunny south. And probably rained down there more than it did here, didn't it? Not now? Huh? Yeah, well, we're glad to have you home. Yes. Yes, I'm sure it was. Yes. Well, you know, spring is coming. It'll be here before long. We'll just wake up one day, it'll be 85 degrees. Yeah, 1st August probably, but nonetheless. Well, I hope you've had a good week. This has been a good week so far. Thank the Lord for His blessings. We've seen several evidences of fruit coming from a lot of the Living Cross effort and some of the other things that have taken place around here. And that's always good to see. Thank the Lord for that. You might remember the sermon that I preached a couple of months ago on Hush, You Don't Speak Greek. And people have been downloading that sermon off the internet, and I got an email today from Duke University. Oh, my heart went down in my shoes when I saw that. But it was a fellow from Duke University, and a professor at Duke University, and he wrote to thank me for the sermon. And said that it was something that he has thought, but he didn't know how to put it into words. And all these people criticizing the Bible and changing the Bible to make it fit what they want it to say. And boy, he just went on and on. And so, you know, for every 30 messages you get telling you what a skunk you are, you get one where somebody is blessed by it. So praise the Lord for that. And I tell you, it's just been a busy week, but it's been a good week. And now we're going to finish up what we started here several weeks ago, looking at the matter of charity. You remember that the Apostle Paul was basically talking about how there is a better way, there is a more excellent way of living, and that is to have charity in your heart. Now, in chapter 13, beginning in the first verse, he said, "Though I speak with the tongues of men," that was one of the gifts mentioned in chapter 12, he said, "and of angels, and have not charity, then I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal." He then went on to say, "And though I have the gift of prophecy," that again is a gift that was mentioned in chapter 12. And he said, "If I have that gift so that I could understand all mysteries, understand all knowledge, and though, but if I have not charity in my heart, then that gift really doesn't benefit me much." He said, "If I had all faith," another gift mentioned in chapter 12, he said, "so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing." And so this matter of charity is something that that the Apostle Paul thought was pretty important. And of course, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, we have a whole chapter that is basically dedicated to this idea. Now, the question is, what is charity? Well, many of the Greek geeks have taken this word and changed it and made it love, and it is not love. It is a portion. It is connected to love, but it is not love. And if it's translated love, then it misses the point. Charity is the outcome of love. It is the characteristics of love. It is the character of love. It is what is produced in our actions. It's how love is demonstrated in our lives. That's charity. If Christmas time rolls around and you go to one of the department stores or one of the malls and they have somebody there with a kettle ringing a bell, and folks come by and they drop coins or dollars in that kettle, and we say that they're giving to charity. They're giving to charity. And what is charity going to do with that money? Well, they're going to feed people with it, and they're going to clothe people with it, and they're going to house people with it. And so what they're saying is, we love, we care. Let us show you how we love and care. And so we put money in the pot. They then distribute it. You see what I'm saying? Charity is different from love. I could stand up here all day long and tell you that I love you, but until I demonstrate that and prove it to you and show it to you, really, I'm just making a lot of noise up here. All right? So there is a difference between love and charity. And Paul is making that point. And Paul is telling us that having a charitable heart is a better way to live. In other words, you don't have to walk around with your face along. You could throw it out of a four-story window and make a fire escape out of it. You don't have to walk around depressed all the time. You don't have to walk around angry all the time. You don't have to walk around bitter all the time. There is a better way to live. And the way we learn that, of course, is by being rightly related to God. 1 John 4:7-8, beloved, let us love one another. Why? For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. You say, well, I sure wish I had a loving heart. Well, hang around the one who is love and you'll get one. All right? I mean, you know, you are what you have been becoming. Did that sink in? You are what you have been becoming. And so if you sit around and feed your character or your person on the world, you're going to be worldly. If you feed it on the flesh, you're going to be fleshly. But if you feed it on the spirit, you're going to be spiritual. And so if you want a loving heart, then you hang around the one who is love. And charity is the outflow of what's on the inside. And so Paul is telling us here the characteristics of love, charity. Now, we have we went through each one of these line upon line, word for word, and we have looked at them, and we're going to wrap it up tonight with the 7th verse and the very first part of the 8th verse. And we have seen so far that charity, verse 4, suffereth long. We have seen that it is kind. We have seen that charity envieth not. It's not jealous. It's not envious of others. We have seen that it vaunteth not itself. In other words, it's not proud. We have seen that it is not puffed up. We have seen that it does not behave itself unseemly. It seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked. You know, there's a lot of folks that their button is just wired. I mean, you know, all you got to do is get near it and their button goes off. You know, just explode everywhere they go. Well, he said a charitable heart is not easily provoked. He said it thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity. And then last time we looked at the fact that it rejoiceth in the truth. Now, tonight we pick it up in verse 7, and there are four statements now that are basically all going to tie together. They're going to all relate to one another. And he said in verse 7, charity beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. All right, let's pray. Our Father, we're so very thankful that we have a Bible, and Lord, thankful for these precious promises that we've just read. Lord, help us to apply the Word of God to our hearts. Lord, help us to not just hear with our ears, but to hear with our hearts and hide the Word of God in our hearts that we might not sin against Thee. Lord, we just thank You for the Spirit of God that makes the application. And Lord, I pray that you will apply your truth to our hearts this evening. May we leave here changed people because of what God's Word has done and what we've allowed it to do. And Lord, may we be excited about having a heart that's full of charity. And so, Lord, bless us, we pray now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, looking at the characteristics of love and how love behaves, we have seen various aspects of it. We've seen various sides of it. We've seen positive sides, statements that were made in the positive, and we have seen statements that are made in the negative. And that's because sometimes our behavior can be negative, and sometimes it can be positive. So Paul deals here with the matter of charity, and basically what he is telling us here is that that having a heart that is full of charity because of the love that is in your heart, because of your relationship with God, he is saying that that way is a better way to live. It's much better to be kind and patient, and it's much better to go through life not bragging and not selfish, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so some of them are positive, some of them are negative, but the point is well made. And now tonight, we will be looking at the seventh verse and looking at a couple of other aspects of charity. Paul said that charity, in verse 7, beareth all things. It beareth all things. But now, Paul has made it clear in the beginning of verse 4 that charity rejects jealousy, bragging, arrogance, unseemly behavior, selfishness, anger, resentment, and unrighteousness. He's already established those principles. And then he turns right around and he says, charity beareth all things. Now, that might be a little confusing to you, but really, if you take the Word of God at face value and keep in mind what has previously been said, you won't get confused. Charity beareth all things. But wait a minute. It does not bear, believe, hope, or endure false teaching. That would be contrary to the principle that is being stated. It does not bear false doctrine. It does not bear anything else that is not of God. So please understand that by Paul saying that charity beareth all things, he is speaking of all things acceptable in God's truth. All right. And yet there are people that go around and they say, oh, well, you know, Paul said that Paul said that love beareth all things. So, you know, we can just compromise here and compromise there and do whatever we want to do. No, that's not what Paul is saying. Not at all. Paul is never telling you to contradict another direct statement from the Word of God. So Paul was saying this all things, and of course he is speaking of all things that are acceptable in God's truth. God cannot go outside the boundaries he has set for himself in his own Word. And he won't do that. So please understand what Paul is trying to say here. In other words, folks, someone cannot stand up and say, well, it's okay for us to compromise with those that don't believe the truth because Paul here said that we are to bear all things. No, the Word of God clearly tells us in a number of places that we are to have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. The Bible tells us very clearly that we are to come out from among the world and be separated. And so we are to have loving hearts that shows itself by bearing all things as long as they are acceptable in the Word of God. Now, we have four remaining elements here, and I want us to look at them and continue to better understand the qualities of charity, how charity displays itself. And these four things are basically given to us in ascending order. So pay attention to the order in which they're given. All right, let's look at the first part of verse 7. Charity beareth all things. Now, I want you to think about the word beareth for a moment. I want you just to think about that word. The word is an interesting word when you think about it. I read the word and I stopped and I thought, okay, Paul is saying here that charity bears all things. It bears all things. Now, and I got to thinking about the word, and I thought, well, wait a minute, I know what that word means. It's a simple word. We speak of something being able to bear the weight that is placed upon it. Okay, we will say, be careful with that floor. I don't know if it can hold you up. All right, we're talking about a big person. I don't know if that floor can hold. Be careful with that chair. I'm not sure that chair can bear your weight. All right. So the idea is that something is able to bear under the weight that is placed upon it. And that's the word that was used here by the Apostle Paul. We speak of someone being strong enough to handle the stress and the strain of a crisis. You know, some tragedy will happen. And we will say, pray for so-and-so. I'm not sure they're strong enough to bear up under this load. I'm not sure they're going to be able to handle this. And so what Paul is saying here is that being charitable, having a charitable heart, is having the inner character to keep going no matter what may come our way. You say, well, I just don't know that I just don't know that I could be like that. Well, folks, you can if you get that love from the Lord. If you get that the source from the Lord, sure you can handle. You'd be surprised what you can handle when you've got the Lord there to guide you and direct you and help you handle it. And all of us have times of stress. All of us have times of strain. Life can sometimes overwhelm us, and we all know that. You have your job, you have your home, you have your mortgage, you have your bills, you have the children, and you have sickness, and you have all. I mean, my goodness, everywhere you look, there are things that weigh upon us, and things that can sometimes just come over us like a tidal wave. But Paul's point here is that if you have charity in your heart, then that charity, that the love of God that constrains us, the love of God that is within us, and we're growing in that love and walking in that love, the character of that love is going to enable us to remain strong and keep us going so that nothing stands in the way of our service to God and of our service to others. Now, folks, think about it. You know this to be true. Good night. If you've been in the church for any length of time, you know this to be true. I mean, some of the finest Christians that, at least from our perspective, some of the finest Christians that you can have in the church can all of a sudden have some crisis happen in their house, can have some crisis happen in their family, and then all of a sudden you look around and you say, well, where are they? Where'd they go? Well, I tell you where they are. They're sitting under a juniper tree somewhere feeling sorry for themselves because of a problem that happened in their lives. And you cannot imagine. You know, we started Sunday night a message it's going to be a six-part or so message, but for the next several Sunday nights. But I started a message on the 10 lepers that were healed, and 10 of them turned to go to the priest when Jesus said, "Go to the priest and show yourself." And as they turned to go to the priest, they were healed of their leprosy. One man looked down and saw that his leprosy was gone, and he turned and came back to the Savior. And Jesus said, "Where are the other nine?" Well, I tell you, folks, people say to me all the time, Pastor, where's so-and-so? Well, they forgot that they were saved of their sin. They forgot that they were a child of God. It just sort of left them for a little while that they had a Bible they could turn to and find strength to help in a time of need. They just kind of forgot that the Holy Spirit lives within them and has promised to sustain them and keep them going and never let them falter or fail. They forgot all about that, and now they're sitting at home feeling sorry for themselves because of something that happened in their home or in their job. Are you listening? Folks, I wish that there was some way that I could call to your attention. I think you'd pray more if I could do this. I wish that I could just stand up here and just start over here on this side and just point to empty spots and say, and there's so-and-so where they used to sit, and you really need to pray for them. Here's their story. I wish that I could just point, and right there was where so-and-so sat, and you really need to pray for him. You have no idea what that man had to go through. You have no idea. Now pray for him. He needs to be back in church. He's still defeated. He's still down. I could point all over this room, and I could tell you names. I could call names. I would never do that, but I wish that I could, just so you would see the urgency and really step up your prayer life for God to put a hedge around this place. Man, I'm so tired of the devil beating people up and winning. I'm so tired of that. And we need to pray more. We just need to pray more. I'm talking about some of the finest Christian people that you could ever want to meet. And you look around and you start missing them. You say, well, what happened? Well, I tell you what happened. Old Slewfoot was waiting on them out there with a baseball bat, and they just come down the road in spirit, you know, in their spiritual pride, thinking that everything was just hunky-dory because it had been for years, and they rounded the corner and bang, he let them have it. And now, where are they? Well, folks, listen, we need to pray. And a loving heart is what drives you to pray, having charity. And that gives you the character to remain strong so that you don't falter, so you don't fall down, so you don't trip. You know, Paul talked about being knocked down. But he said, thank God I got knocked down. I didn't get knocked out. All right? Philippians 2, read it. He got knocked down, but he didn't get knocked out. And so charity causes you to be there, and it causes you to keep going no matter what the crisis. Let's suppose you're having a crisis in your home. Well, charity causes you to be there. I mean, Dad, hey, listen, somebody's got to stand up and be the high priest in the home. Well, charity is what keeps you going. You're just trusting God. You're trusting the Lord. You love the Lord. You know He loves you, and you love the problemed person in the home. I mean, you know, you're there. You are the support. You are the strength. You are the one that bears others up, so that no matter what the problem is, you're standing. And you're there. Even when sin is certain, charity tries to correct it with the least possible hurt to the guilty person. Now, folks, understand this. Charity never protects sin, but it always supports and it always helps the sinner. It is the element that enables us to bear others up, even when we don't agree with them, to encourage them in the right direction. And you know, the sad thing is, human nature has the opposite inclination. You know? I mean, I've spoken about this before in our studies back in one of the earlier ones, but it is within the fallen human nature to find some kind of perverse pleasure in exposing somebody else's faults and weaknesses and sins. I mean, this is what makes gossip so appealing to us. And how appropriate for Paul to make this statement to the Corinthian church. Just think about this in the light of this proud church. Here was a church filled with people who cared very little for the thoughts and feelings of others. And when Paul saw them, he saw a bunch of people who were just out for themselves. These people were just every man for himself. Like the Pharisees, they paid little attention to others except when those others were failing and sinning. And boy, then they paid attention so they could stand above them. Listen, folks, man's depravity causes him to rejoice in the depravity of others. Don't be guilty of that. I mean, it is that depraved pleasure we derive from the depravity of others that sells the magazines and the tabloids that cater to exposing and to announcing the dirt and the failures and the sins of others. A couple of weeks ago, I was sitting in an airport waiting on a plane, and just across from where I was sitting, plane was delayed, and so I was sitting there waiting on the plane to come, and just across from where I was sitting was one of those little magazine stands, one of those little stores in the airport, and I noticed that all the tabloids and the people-type magazines and Us and, you know, all the Hollywood stuff, all that was right at the front. All the Star and the National Enquirer and all the rest, they were all right there in the front, where when you walk in the store, they were the first thing that you came, and they were right by the cash register. And I sat there and I watched people, and it was amazing to me, but the overwhelming majority of the customers were buying these gossip rags. And why are we like that? I'll tell you why. Because we're sinners. But charity can fix that in you. Charity gives you the ability to bear all things. Now listen very carefully. Paul's point here is that charity bears all things. It does not bear all things. It bears all things, B-E-A-R-S. It does not bear, B-A-R-E, all things. See the difference? All right? And that's Paul's point. Solomon said it well in Proverbs 10:12. He said, "Hatred stirreth up strifes, but love covereth all sin." Amen. All right? Let's move on to the next one. Now keep these in mind. Beareth all things. Then number two, believeth all things. In addition to bearing all things, Paul said charity also believeth all things. Now this is an amazing principle that needs to be understood. Paul is saying charity is not cynical and suspicious. It's not just sitting around looking for and expecting the worst in people. It's not just sitting around just waiting for someone to mess up so that we can either get the light out of that or get the old, "I told you so," you know. No, charity, and that's what comes out of love, that's what comes out of the loving heart. Charity believeth all things. When charity throws its mantle over a wrong, it also believes in the best outcome for the one who has done the wrong. That the wrong will be confessed and forgiven, and the loved one will be restored to righteousness. Now, folks, listen. If you don't bear all things, the first one, then you're never going to believe all things. I mean, if you don't have that charity in your heart that enables you to bear all things, mark it down. You're not going to be believing all things. I suppose the greatest example in the Bible of not having this type of character is found in the book of Job, when Job was accosted by his supposedly three good friends. They were ready to believe the worst about him. I mean, being thoroughly convinced that Job's problems could only be the result of God's judgment upon him because of his many horrible sins. And there sat poor old Job. I mean, Job himself did not understand why he was going through what he had to go through. I mean, Job couldn't figure it out himself. His three friends, though, they had it nailed. Or so they thought. And boy, they stood discussing like Job wasn't even there. Poor man sitting there listening to everything they're saying. And they're just going back and forth, and they're ragging on Job, and they're telling one another their own deepest, darkest ideas about the matter. And there's poor old Job sitting there. He knew that he had not committed any horrible sins. He knew that it was that what he had just experienced was not because of God's judgment upon his sins. He knew that, yet he sat there and he listened to what these old boys had to say. And they were convinced that it was God's wrath because of his sin. Well, they didn't have much charity in their heart, did they? And you see, that's what the apostle here is talking about. Let me go back to the book of Job here real quick and just read you chapter 21. Let me read you just one verse. It says, "Behold, I know your thoughts." This is Job speaking to his three buddies. He said, "Behold, I know your thoughts and the devices which ye wrongfully imagine against me." That you wrongfully imagine against me. And so Job is sitting there. He knew what was in his heart. And yet these three, they thought, "Oh no, we know what's in your heart." And Job knew he didn't have any sin there. And he said, "Behold, I know your thoughts and the devices which you wrongfully imagine against me." They gave Job, in other words, they gave Job no benefit of the doubt because they had no charity in their hearts. Charity believeth all things. Charity has a confidence in the one accused of wrongdoing or sin. This is a part. This is something that a part of what we call the Judeo-Christian ethic. And this ethic is the foundation for much of the law in our land. And part of that ethic says this. We have a law in our country that says that you are presumed innocent until you are proven guilty. Did you get that? Presumed innocent. Until you are proven guilty. That's believeth all things. And folks, listen, you say, "Well, what if you're guilty?" Then you go back to the last one, beareth all things. If they're guilty, they're guilty. And you bear them through it. I mean, you know, you bear them through it. You don't abandon your loved ones. You don't abandon your family. You love them. And you pray for them. Now, you don't endorse their wickedness. You don't endorse their sin. There's some things you have to put your foot down on, but the door should be always open for them to come back to the Lord. And so that's the point. If a person is proven guilty and it turns out someone is guilty of what they are accused of, then charity reverts back to the previous characteristic. Charity beareth all things. Let me give you a New Testament example. This can be seen in the scribes and the Pharisees. You know, these hypocrites, these Pharisees and scribes, they knew nothing of charity. They continually saw the worst in everyone else. Continually. They just saw the worst in everyone else. They could not see it in themselves, but they could easily see the worst in others, and especially in the Lord Jesus. Can I remind you that when Jesus forgave the maniac of Gadara, when he forgave the maniac of Gadara of his sins and cast the demons out of him, and all of a sudden that old boy is in his right mind and clothed, Jesus told him to go back to his family. When Jesus healed that man, what did they do? They accused him of blasphemy. All they could do was see the worst. And to further evidence his power, the Lord Jesus healed the man of his affliction. And when they did, they accused him of blasphemy. And in verse 26 of Luke 5, most of the people there, Luke tells us, marveled at the miracle that Jesus did. Now I'm talking about the people. They marveled when they saw what Jesus did. But we know from their later words and actions that the scribes and the Pharisees remained convinced that Jesus was evil. Everybody else saw it, but they could not see it. Point is, hatred believes the worst. Charity believes the best. All right? So charity believeth all things. Then look at the third one. Charity hopeth all things. Now, folks, you must tie these together in order to understand and see what Paul is saying here about charity. Charity beareth all things. That's the first one. It believeth all things. That's the second one. And then it hopeth all things. You say, well, what does that one mean? Folks, listen, even when belief in a loved one's goodness or repentance is shattered, charity still hopes. You understand that? I mean, you bear all things, you believe all things, you hope all things. And you bear all things. Right? You get the word that a child or a brother or a loved one or whatever the case may be, you get the word that they've done something foolish. And you say, oh my goodness, you know, what are we going to do here? Okay, let's think, let's pray, let's trust the Lord. And then you find out, yes, indeed, they did do it. They did do it. And now there's going to be consequences to pay. And you think to yourself, well, how could they do something like that? But they did it. And that's where what's in here, character, love that came from God, charity, hopes. Now, they're guilty, and they're going to have to pay. Folks, there are consequences to sin. I mean, my goodness, open your eyes and look around you. There are consequences to sin. But when the consequences are being paid, man, you just got to hope that they're going to bear themselves under this. You got to hope that they're going to come out of this standing on their own two feet. I mean, listen, you see sometimes our loved ones and our friends, our children, you know, sometimes they're just not going to listen to us. I mean, sometimes they're just not going to listen. And they're going to go ahead and do what they're going to do, and they're going to plunge headlong into sin. Charity will cause us to bear them up. Charity will cause us to believe in them. And charity will encourage them to do the right thing and not follow the path of destruction. But when they won't listen, charity then hopes. And that's what gives us the ability to continue to pray for them, to continue to love them, even though they won't listen to what you're saying. Charity hopeth all things. And as long as God's grace is operative, human failure is never final. Did you hear that? I worked for hours on that one. Now you got to get that. All right? I will. I'll say it again. Listen very carefully. As long as God's grace is operative, human failure is never final. In the Old Testament, God would not take Israel's failure as final. And I find it interesting that Jesus never took Peter's failure final. You remember during the play? You remember during the play when Ezra came out as the angel and the girls were standing here and Ezra said, "He is not here. He is risen." And then the Bible says, and Ezra quoted it, he said, "Go tell the others and Peter." Go tell his disciples and Peter. Did y'all catch that? Go tell his disciples and Peter. Wait a minute, wasn't Peter one of the disciples? Of course he was. But if you'll remember, it was Peter who stood outside of Caiaphas' house, warmed himself by the fire of the enemy. It was Peter that stood out there and cursed and denied that he even knew Jesus. And so, Peter probably didn't feel like he was an apostle. But Jesus sure knew he was. And he hoped. And sure enough, Peter came around. Folks, listen. Paul would not take the Corinthians' failure as final, or he wouldn't have written this epistle to them. He wouldn't have given up on them, or he wouldn't have written this epistle to them. I mean, there are more than enough promises in the Bible to make charity hopeful. There are enough promises. In other words, charity will never give up on someone else. I deal with this all the time, folks. I deal with moms and dads who have children that break their hearts, and I always, every time advise them, never give up. Never. You just can't quit. I mean, as long as there is life, charity does not lose hope. I read this story several years ago, and I understand that it was made into a movie. I never saw the movie, of course, but I did read the story, and I think I read it in Reader's Digest, to be honest with you, while I was sitting in the doctor's office here a while back. And it was one of those old Reader's Digest. You know how they are in doctor's offices, you know, ought to, you know, but 1902, not 2002. You know, I mean, I'm sitting there, you know, reading through this Reader's Digest, and there was a story, and they said they made it into a movie. I don't know, but I didn't see it. I just read about it. But it seems this fella had a dog. And for whatever reason, he was moving from one part of the country to another. And it was an emergency thing. He really didn't have time to prepare nor time to plan. And so he just took everything that he could get in suitcases and took off to the airport. And he had a dog. And he took the dog to the airport. And for whatever reason, the dog could not fly on the plane. And he said, well, what am I supposed to do? And the guy behind the counter said, sir, that's not our problem. We don't know what to tell you. So the man with tears in his eyes walked the dog right outside of the airport. And he kind of just gingerly tied its leash to a paper stand with the understanding that surely somebody will come and rescue this dog. And they said that for 5 years, that dog sat by that door day in and day out waiting for its owner to return. Now, people would come and feed the dog, and they try to lure it away, and they could not get that dog out of that airport. And that dog stayed right there for over 5 years, sitting by that door and looking inside that airport where he had last seen his owner. Now, listen, folks. If a dog can love like that, why can't we? I mean, if a dog can hope like that, why do we give up on our kids? Why do we give up on our loved ones? Charity hopeth all things. And then, quickly, you'll notice there's one more in verse 7. It beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. The word that Paul used here, all the commentators said that it comes from the military. This is military language. And it was used of an army's holding a vital position at all costs. I mean, every hardship and every suffering was to be endured by the soldiers in order to hold fast to a position. And Paul's point is, charity allows us to hold fast to those that it loves. Charity allows us to hold fast. It endureth all things. It endureth all things at all costs. It stands against overwhelming opposition and refuses to stop bearing, number one, first part of verse 7, it refuses to stop believing. It refuses to stop hoping. It just does not stop. In other words, it endureth all things. Charity bears what is otherwise unbearable. It believes what is otherwise unbelievable. It hopes in what is otherwise hopeless. It endures when anything else would have given up a long time ago. Let me say it this way. After love bears, look at your Bible, verse 7. After love bears, it believes. After it believes, it hopes. After it hopes, it endures. There is nothing after endureth, and the reason is because the first part of verse 8 tells us that charity never fails. There's nothing after endurance, for endurance is the unending climax of charity. You just love, and you just keep on loving those you love. That's the character that is demonstrated when the love is the right kind of love from God. And the reason that you just keep on loving is because, verse 8, charity never faileth. All right? Other things will fail. You know, your best of intentions, I mean, you know, all that, a lot of things fail, but charity never faileth. Throughout all eternity, throughout all our failures, throughout all our trials, throughout all of our heartaches and broken lives, loved ones disappointing us, charity never fails. I can tell this because the parties involved are deceased, but they're members of my family. And my dad's brother was a drunkard. And from the day that he left home when he was 18 years of age, when he was told to leave because of his wickedness, because of his drunkenness, when he was thrown out of the house at 18 years of age and broke my grandfather's heart, when it was just absolutely something that my grandfather could not even talk about without welling up, when he left, and as we came along and as we spent the first 16 years of our lives with my grandfather, I looking back on it now, I can see that whenever my uncle would come to town, whenever he would come in, my grandfather would completely change. I mean, he was just a whole new person. He was just like a whole new person. And he was happy, and he would sing, and we would make comments. Oh, yeah, he's happy because LB's coming home. Yeah, he's happy because he hadn't seen him in a year and a half. He hadn't seen him in 3 years. But that's the way he was. He probably drunk for 3 years. But he was coming home. And my grandfather would get so upbeat, so excited, so happy about it. And I, looking back on it, I can remember when this happened. I was about 12 years of age. And I was sitting in the living room, and my dad and my grandfather and my dad's brother were all sitting around the kitchen table, and they were talking. And I can remember the conversation. I can remember like it was yesterday, because my grandfather just looked right across that table and looked him right square in the eye and said, "Have you straightened up your life yet?" My uncle said, "I'm working on it." My grandfather said, "How are you working on it?" And he said, "Well, I'm doing..." He said, "Tell me what you're doing." And I sat there and I watched my grandfather as all of a sudden that wise old soul that I knew him to be just poured his heart out, not in a lecturing way, not in a scolding way, but literally poured his heart out to my uncle and begged him to stop the drinking and begged him to get saved and go to church and line up. I mean, just begged him, get in the Bible, read the Bible. I mean, I can remember him saying these things. And I can see the look of disappointment when my uncle would push away from the table and walk away. It was always such a heartbreak. But then a year go by, a year and a half go by, and he's coming back into town again. And my grandfather's all up and excited and happy, all thrilled about it. He never gave up. That's the point. He never gave up. Never, ever gave up. And this uncle is the one that I told you about when I was pastoring in Illinois. And I went to the office one morning and I was sitting there reading the Bible and praying. And all of a sudden I got a burden. And I said, Lord, no, you got to be kidding. And the burden would not let me go. And I went back over to the house and I said, I've got to go to Richmond. And Karen looked at me and said, Richmond? In Virginia? I said, yes. Why? I said, because the Lord just laid it on my heart to go over and witness to LB. And Karen said, well, I mean, we've been down that road before. And so she said, well, you better go then. So I packed up, and within an hour, I was gone. And I got over to my dad's, spent the night with my dad in Roanoke. The next morning, drove over to Richmond. And the amazing thing is, I had no idea where he lived. The plan was to look it up in the phone book when I got there, in Hopewell, Virginia. I got off not more than three blocks from where he lived. I got off the interstate and I pulled into a 7-Eleven, went in and borrowed their phone book and looked up his address. And I said, do you know where this address is? And the guy behind the counter said, yeah, it's right down there, two streets, and you turn right one block and you're there. He opened that door and he looked at me. What in the world are you doing here? And I'm bawling like a baby. I mean, tears just streaming down my face. And he stopped and he looked around and like, you know, you got somebody dead laying here? Why are you bawling? Why are you crying? Why are you here? And I said, I need to talk to you. Well, come on in, come on in. I went in and sat down, and about 20 minutes later, I've got his old rough, burly hand in mine. And he's praying, asking the Lord to save him. I led him to Christ. You don't ever give up. You never know. Charity believeth all things. Or beareth all things. Charity believeth all things. Charity hopeth all things. Charity endureth all things. Why? Because charity never fails. Let's pray together. Father, how thankful we are for the Bible. And Lord, thank you for what you teach us. Lord, I pray that you will take this thought that we've heard this evening and just drill it into our minds. And Lord, give us that charitable heart. Father, I pray there are folks here tonight. And Lord, we don't condone sin. But Lord, we love the sinner. And we believe in them and we bear. And we believe and we hope and we endure. With the intent that, Lord, that charity one day is going to shine forth. And one day, our loved ones will get back where they are supposed to be. Lord, give us that loving heart. Father, I pray that we'll never quit on anybody, never give up on anybody. And Lord, just give us understanding of what we've heard tonight. And we'll thank you for what you do for us. In Christ's name, amen.